the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. Ms. Parrish, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Here.
Trustee John Butler? Trustee Wheeler Coleman?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Robert Pritchard? Trustee Timothy Struthers?
Here.
Trustee Nathan Hayes?
Here.
Committee Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Here. Mr. Brady, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice for this meeting has been posted?
Mr. Committee Chair, we have reached quorum. Just for the record, Trustee Pritchard is here. He just isn't in the room at the time of the roll call. He'll be joining us soon, and appropriate notices have been provided by the university.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting? I know, do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of August 16, 2018?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So I'd like to welcome everyone here today. We have a brief but important agenda and are looking forward to recognizing the excellence as well as receiving a presentation from the Education Systems Center. I'm not sure how many of you were out at the game last night, but I think we had one of those coming. And it seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong for us last night, and I was reminded because I still have the stamp in my hand to get in and out of the game. So it was a long night, but we are going to the MAC Championships, so happy about that. Before we go into the agenda, though, Mr. Brady, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with the state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Committee Chair, we have one request, Naomi Bolden. It does not appear that Ms. Bolden is here, so we can proceed.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to recognize the members representing the University Advisory Committee that are in attendance, Professor Alex Gelman. Hey, Alex. And Professor Kendall Tu. I would also like to recognize Faculty Senate President, Professor Therese Arado. Therese, where are you at? I don't see Therese. Operating Staff President Holly Nicholson. No. And Supportive Professional Staff President Kathy Doderline. Do you have any comments for the board?
I do not.
You sure?
Anything you'd like me to talk about?
I really enjoyed being at Stevens, by the way, for the opening, and thank you for your hospitality there.
We enjoyed it as well. Thank
you. Yeah, it was a good time. At this point, I'd like to, we don't have Chris here today. He's at another event. So I'd like to ask President Freeman to present the university report.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowicz. It's fun to be here as the liaison to the Student Affairs, Academic Affairs, and Personnel Committee.
We're watching you here. We'll see if you're going to do a good job.
All right, I'll try. Our first agenda item, 8A, is an information item regarding professional excellence awards for faculty and staff. The university sponsors a number of programs that are designated to recognize excellence in faculty and staff performance. These include Board of Trustees professorships, presidential professorships that recognize excellence in teaching, research scholarship in artistry and engagement, excellence in teaching awards, as well as recognition awards for outstanding staff members from both our operating staff and our supportive professional staff. These awards are recognized at a ceremony in the spring, but it's rare that we can have all of our trustees there. And so we have been trying for a number of cycles to have the recipients of these awards recognized and able to communicate a little bit with our trustees. Sometimes our schedule gets behind because of public comment or overruns of committees, but we got smart this time and we made this the very first item of the day so that we could give people a reasonable time to be here. And I'm going to ask that anyone who is a recipient of one of these awards who's listed in the board item. To please form a line at the mic, we'll start with Professor Gibo. And what I'd like you to do is just say maybe who you are, how long you've been at NIU, and part of how you contribute to the university and what excellence you were recognized for. And I know everyone's very humble, but...
Well, my name is Dan Gibo. I've been at NIU for 32 years. We've done a lot in terms of research. I work with bones and fossils. We've made top publications in top journals like Nature and Science. We've made the front page of the New York Times and Time Magazine. We've had a pretty long and distinguished career. I am a Board of Trustees professor for the third time. I'm an inaugural winner, one of the first three when it was first recognized. I guess I was the first two-time winner and now the first three-time winner. I hold a presidential teaching professorship, a presidential research professorship. I've won the Outstanding Faculty Award for the college this the past month. I am the U.S. professor for the state of Illinois in 2014. So I've had a pretty long and distinguished career, so at least six major awards at NIU and one outside of NIU. We've spent a lot of time, of course, doing research. We work with students. I've worked a lot with artists, even though I'm a scientist. We do a lot with illustrations of the fossils that we work with. So we have had a very great time with one art student who actually illustrated everything in a book I published. We've had taken students to the field. We've done, I lose count, but I'm probably well over 125 or 30 master's theses or PhD committees in terms of NIU plus outside NIU. I've sat on several PhD committees outside. Anthropology does not have a PhD arrangement there at this time. And so anyhow, it's been a long history. I've taught 7,500 students over my 32 years. So I've taught undergraduate classes well into the hundreds of students. I've taught graduate seminars, of course, for fewer numbers of students and gone on and done all these types of activities. So we've been a good department. I've had a good run, I will say. And as Lisa knows, I'm retiring in May. So this is it. So this is the final year. Is that enough?
Thank you. Do we have other award winners? I know we do. I was going to call on you if you didn't walk up.
Can I just add one comment to Professor Gibo that about 16 or so years ago, he and I played basketball together a lot, and his excellence in the classroom is matched only by his excellence on the court. So he's also a very good athlete.
Did you play Dennis in Horse for Money or anything like that? You know?
No, not for that.
We were always told to be very careful.
I want to point out that our ethics officer is in the audience.
Well, I did learn a lot, by the way, again, at the Stevens opening. And when we were sitting there looking at all the bones laid out there, it was just amazing. I got my 23andMe account up and going while we were talking just to track things.
NIU is actually a very unusual institution in the Midwest. We actually have an incredibly large collection of bones and casts, being way better than the University of Illinois or many other institutions in the Midwest. So we're actually in a very interesting position.
Yeah, I was amazed at the amount of bones. It was amazing. Sorry.
Absolutely.
I'm Amanda Littower. I have no equivalent athletic prowess, so we'll just get that off the table. I am an associate professor in the Department of History and in the Center for the Study of Women, Gender, and Sexuality. And I won the Excellence in Undergraduate Teaching Award in the spring. I also won a different slightly lower profile award, the Eichner Award from the Presidential Commission on the Status of Gender Identity and Sexual Orientation. So we took the status out of that, the Presidential Commission on Gender Identity and Sexual Orientation. And that's for advocacy on behalf of LGBTQ communities here at NIU. I do my own research focuses on history of sexuality, gender, women, girls, LGBTQ people in the 20th century in the United States. I have recently moved into oral history method, so interviewing, historian style. It's a little different. Life history interviewing, open-ended interviewing, which I've been really gratified by and have involved students in. So I've had an undergraduate research. I had two undergrads do research with me through a grant that I got through the Research and Artistry Fund here at NIU. And they observed interviews and transcribed interviews, analyzed interviews, did some archival research, and have really assisted me in the last, 2 years at this point in different iterations of independent studies and paid and unpaid research assistantships and internships with my own research agenda. So that's something that's been particularly satisfying and meaningful to me here at NIU. I teach, all the way from first year, lots of first years. I'm teaching WGST 101 right now with 78 students, and I think about 80% of them are new to NIU. So we've been doing a lot of work around just adjustment to college, to NIU, to finding their voice, connecting them with the resources that they need, handling mental health challenges, and there are more than I've ever seen. And it's a real concern to me that many students at this point feel that they don't have the support in terms of counseling on campus that they need or access to it on the time frame that they need. So as long as I'm here, I thought I'd mention that. But overwhelmingly, so then I teach all the way up to PhD students in history and master's students across many disciplines through the Center for the Study of Women, Gender, and Sexuality. So I've served on master's committees for sports administration students and anthro and art history, and it's really a pleasure and challenging and invigorating to work with students across a range of disciplines and doing research, very original research, using a wide variety of methods. So that's something I particularly appreciate about the joint appointment with the center.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah.
I cannot see everybody because, there are podiums and heads in the way. Do we have other award winners? All right. If not, we will move on to our next agenda item. Oh, I didn't see. I see the podium. I said that. I thought I saw you come in, Professor Chen. I'm sorry.
Thank you for recognizing me. Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Ji Chen. Sorry, I was not quite prepared for having a short speech this morning.
It can be very short. It's fine.
Great. Thank you. I'm an associate professor from School of Nursing. I have been working in NIU for about 9 years. So I would say it took me a long way to be where I am now. As a teacher whose native language is not English, and the culture is different, like between Eastern and Western. So I conquer a lot of barriers to become a teacher who have accomplished something by today. So I would say I enjoy what I'm doing, no matter teaching, research, or service. So in the past, I have been teaching medical surgical nursing in didactic and clinical courses. And I also have been mentoring students from honor students to doctor students. And I enjoy working with them to help them achieve whatever they like in their research interest field. And also I have been serving on curriculum evaluation committee in my school. And in past several years, we have been through some difficult time and under pressure for reaching the target passing rate for registered nurse, the NCLEX exam. And I was the chair for about 3 years. So we accomplished some progress in achieving excellence in nursing education. And for my research, my background is about occupational health nursing. So my interest is I would do anything for nurses. So my research projects have been around nurses' work condition. So in the past, I have done some study about evaluating nurses' work stress, interruptive situation during the work, and also collaborate with some researchers from College of Engineering for evaluating a series of patient handling devices. So in the laboratory setting for now, but we're moving forward to the clinical setting to help with the implementation for ergonomic devices. So I guess that's so far
thank
I have
you.
Achieved. And yeah, thank you so much. And it's a great honor for me to be awarded this Utah Award. It's a great honor. Thank you, everyone.
I'm going to do last call. Did anybody come in, or is anybody still hiding behind a piece of furniture or someone else's head? I think you can really see the excellence of our faculty when we do the tenure approvals here and when we have the recognition ceremonies. I think that we don't always appreciate that even when faculty are recognized for excellence in one facet of our university's mission, be it teaching or research or engagement or service, all of our faculty are good teachers and good scholars and engaged with the community and with their students and committed to serving NIU. And although we only had 3 wonderful individuals speak here this morning, let's give a round of applause for everyone who was recognized, faculty and staff. All right, our next agenda item, 8B, is also an information item. We have a presentation from the Education Systems Center, and I think I will just let them tell you about themselves.
Thank you, President Freeman and members of the board. We're very appreciative of the opportunity that we have this morning to provide you with some information about our center and the work that we do. First of all, I wanted to introduce the folks who are here. I'm John Furr. I'm the Executive Director at Education Systems Center.
And I'm Edith Juguna, Director of Programs and Policy Implementation.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily Ruska, Policy and Programs Manager.
Great. And we wanted to provide you, as I had said, a brief overview of who we are. I know we have some more detailed information within the board packet as well, and we look forward to answering your questions. Our center is a unit of the Office of Engagement of Outreach Engagement and Regional Development. We like to describe ourselves as a mission-driven policy development and program implementation center. And you can see that our mission here, fairly modest, of course, to shape and strengthen education and workforce systems that prepare more young people for productive careers and lives in a global economy. We were founded in 2012, and since that time, we've been able to have a strong focus on stakeholder engagement and successful execution of a number of project and policy areas, which has helped us to take on a number of leadership roles and state-level initiatives that we'll be able to describe to you over the course of this morning. Just to let you know a little bit more about who our team is, there's 3 of us that are here today. We have 7 full-time staff and 1 part-time staff. The center has grown since 2012 when it was just me, and we've been able to evolve over time to add additional team members, which have reflected the scope of work and the projects that we've been managing. As a self-funded unit, we've been able to bring in resources to be able to grow the team and also to drive the work that we're doing.
And the work that we do, we think about it in a number of different ways. One, we're always driven by that mission that John just described earlier. We're constantly working in service of young people and trying to improve outcomes for them. But in order to do that effectively, we recognize that data is an essential piece of informing our policy work, informing our practice and programs, and in order to continuously improve. We are equity focused in that we are focused on eliminating disparities amongst underserved populations and underrepresented populations in both educational and employment outcomes. We are collaborative. In order to make systems transformation happen, systems is in our name. In order to make that systems transformation happen, we have to be collaborating across multiple sectors, and we find that to be essential to our work. And in those processes, we seek to be inclusive, making sure that we have a wide range of stakeholders in order to really best inform our practice in order to serve those different stakeholders and serve the youth that we're trying to improve outcomes for. And finally, we're execution-oriented. We like to get things done. We're constantly holding our vision, but we really are oriented towards delivering on what we have promised to do and executing on our goals.
And we think about our work on three levels. So the first level is statewide. And at this level, we form and lead key interagency and public-private collaborations that drive policy priorities, deepen public system integration, grow public and private financial support, and enable integrated data. So examples of this include the Illinois Longitudinal Data System, which is comprised of 7 state education and workforce agencies and the governor's office. And another example is the Illinois P20 Council, which is comprised of several stakeholders that are working to advance outcomes for students across the state. So we staff both of those boards and provide guidance on the goals and make sure that those goals are met. At the community networks level, we build networks that connect policy to communities leading implementation. So within these certain networks, we provide deeper technical assistance and support to a set of communities that are poised to serve as statewide and national exemplars. An example of this is the Illinois 60 by 25 network, which is comprised of 14 communities across the state that are working to increase meaningful and equitable post-secondary attainment. And the 60 by 25 goal is linked to the P20 Council's goal that 60% of Illinois adults have a college degree or career credential by the year 2025. And finally, we work on strategic partnerships. And here, we spearhead new policy and program opportunities that are mission aligned and can lead to broader network and statewide implementation. So our funding model, as you can see on the slide, when we started in 2012, about 80% of our funds came from the state. Over the last 6 years, we've worked hard to diversify this funding so that we now have a healthy mix from foundations, state agencies, and contracts. Our revenues cover all of our expenses, including rent and administrative costs. And I'd just like to comment on the expenses. You will see the pass-through funding that's on there, which this is funding that we seek from public and private funders. And then we pass on to other departments at NIU that are working on projects with us or to communities that are implementing the statewide policies we develop.
Certainly, we would think that to understand the nature of our work, it's important to talk about our project areas and the impact that we're having. And we certainly can have provided within the board package materials more detailed information on 3 representative project areas. The first being the Post-Secondary and Workforce Readiness Act. Our center was instrumental in driving really a 4-year process that led to the passage of that act and are now leading the statewide efforts to be able to implement it. Edith spoke about the 60 by 25 network already, which we co-founded in 2013, and now we're working to manage and organize that network, which really helps to connect state policy down to community level action. And lastly, again, we've also touched on the Illinois Longitudinal Data System Governing Board, which we drove the process to establish that in 2013 and are now working to be able to lead those efforts with other units at NIU and the state agencies. But we'd like to get deeper just in one of these projects in the Post-Secondary and Workforce Readiness Act, which is a significant part of the scope of work that we're doing along with other partners.
So the goal of the Post-Secondary and Workforce Readiness Act is to strengthen the transition from high school into post-secondary. And as John said, this came about as a result of 4 years of work with hundreds of stakeholders from across the state to define the specific parameters of the legislation. We drafted the legislation and collaborated with stakeholders to obtain consensus on amendments for unanimous passage, and it was signed into law in 2016. So the Act has four far-reaching strategies. The first one is the Post-Secondary and Career Expectations Framework. This lays out what students should know and be supported to do from 8th through 12th grade in order to prepare for life after high school as it relates to post-secondary choices, career exploration, and financial aid and literacy. The second piece is College and Career Pathway Endorsements. This enables high schools to award college and career pathway endorsements on high school diplomas when students meet certain criteria. The fourth one is transitional math to avoid remediation. This establishes a structure for students to take math during their senior year of high school, which, if they successfully complete, enables them to enter into credit-bearing math courses in any Illinois community college. And the fourth one is a pilot of competency-based high school graduation. So as John mentioned, we're driving implementation of the Act across interagency bodies and through the 60 by 25 network, and we are attracting public and private resources for communities on the leading edge of implementation. We are also aligning the Act to other state and federal policies to support its long-term sustainability.
And I won't read through all of the numbers here on this slide, but what we're hoping to convey here is that in a very short period of time since 2016, we're already accomplishing actually a great deal of scale, and all of these numbers we would expect to increase over time. But really what you're seeing here is that across the state in 16 communities covering almost 100 high schools, schools are working on curriculum and work-based learning experiences that equip students with the technical and essential employability skills that have been identified by employers in a number of fields, including finance and business services, manufacturing, engineering, and health sciences. The high schools that are implementing competency-based pilots are also transforming the way that they're delivering school to their young people in order to think differently about how they are preparing them for what comes after high school. And what I'd really love to highlight here is these two bottom numbers, which indicate the scale of transitional math happening. We have almost 100% coverage across the state in terms of the community college districts. There are many high schools, as you can see, participating in transitional math. We know that remediation is something that slows students down and frankly stops students out of completing post-secondary degrees and credentials. We're already trending in the right direction with a 4 percentage point reduction over 2013 to 2016, or the graduating classes of 2013 to 2016. And we think that that number will continue to accelerate given the high number of schools that are implementing transitional math in their high schools.
So we're a pretty small team and we work on pretty large stuff. And so for us to be able to do that, we have to have strong partnerships within Northern Illinois University. We work closely across a number of different units. For the Post-Secondary and Workforce Readiness Act, we're working with the Center for P20 Engagement, both in supporting the implementation and delivery of the transitional math work and connection to the Northern Illinois Regional P20 Network. We're also coordinating closely with the Provost's offices and colleges around how college and career pathway endorsements and this transitional math work can be addressed as students are moving to NIU into various programs. And we've been having a number of great conversations about that alignment work, as well as the engagement of deans within the processes to be able to define the competencies that students need within these various areas. Within the 60 by 25 network, again, there's a close overlap, although this is a statewide network, working closely with the Northern Illinois Regional P20 network run by the Center for P20 Engagement, also working with the Center for Governmental Studies, who has brought together data from 12 different data sets that are informing the work of our community. So we've worked with that team, who has data expertise, to be able to provide data along the cradle to career continuum, which is informing the work of these communities. And certainly with the Illinois Longitudinal Data System work, again, while we are leading much the leadership and governance aspects of that, on the technical work, there's a strong role for the NIU teams at the Center for Governmental Studies at the Illinois Report Card and the College of Education as well, with the researchers there, working with them on how they're accessing that data to support the work that they are looking to undertake moving forward.
In addition to these great partners on NIU's campus, we also do a lot of work with state agencies and boards that are listed here, amongst others. And as John alluded to earlier, this is how we get some systems change done. And these are what we get called on to do is serve as a trusted partner and an execution-oriented partner to help facilitate the spaces in which these agencies are trying to collaborate with one another. And we help maintain those relationships. We help continue to hold the vision and drive the work forward as they seek to collaborate on a number of cross-cutting issues. And finally, we also rely heavily on our external partners. These are both statewide partners as well as some national partners. We rely on such partners and we work closely with them to both help inform our policy development and implementation work at a state level as well as at a local level. And we also work closely with them in a number of different ways with our communities. And finally, our national partners also help us elevate the great work that's happening in Illinois to a national level and as part of that national conversation.
So our key priorities for the next 3 years fall in these three categories. The first one, and these priorities are driving our various project activities and how we pursue funding. So under college and career pathways, we will continue to scale and strengthen college and career pathway endorsements and aligned apprenticeship systems. We will define and implement pathway competencies that articulate into post-secondary, and we'll establish a comprehensive and supportive state policy environment integrating across education and workforce legislation. Under Bridges to Prosperity, we will steer the scaling of transitional math that we mentioned earlier and launch transitional English. We will foster dual credit partnerships under the Dual Credit Quality Act, and we'll build the information systems needed to inform youth on post-secondary choices and for youth to communicate the learning attainment.
And for the last area, for data impact and leadership, we will continue to play the statewide role that we have been in terms of coordinating data integration across state agencies. We've had the pleasure of working with Board Member Pritchard on the P20 Education Workforce Data Task Force, which we think will make some strong recommendations for how we can move our state's data system moving forward to support stakeholders. But we're also planning on doing much more extensive work on how we can get data out to community stakeholders. And we've been working on developing systems and processes to be able to engage with our community partners, particularly on data around the secondary to post-secondary transition and the workforce needs within their communities. And so that's also a skill set and some capacity that we intend to build out to support those community-level efforts. Again, we just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to give you a brief snapshot of the work that we're doing. We're very appreciative of the NIU home that we have and the partnerships that we have throughout the university, and we welcome any questions you might have.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll ask the board members to address questions to you themselves.
Two questions for you. Thank you, by the way, for great job. About 40% of your funding is coming from foundations. Can you give us an idea of what type of foundation is supporting your work?
Sure. So two of our major funders, Joyce Foundation and Grand Victoria Foundation, make a number of investments within the state on education and workforce-related issues, tend to have a statewide focus. Oftentimes, you know, there are some foundations that support programmatic activities, which is not as much what we do, and others that have more of a lens for systems and for policy-related work, which is more the space that we inhabit. So we've been able, through the years, we've had national funders such as Lumina and Gates, as well as many state-level funders, and the occasional community foundations as well that are supporting our work in connection to community-level action.
My second question on the 60 by 25 program.
Yes.
So if I understand that correctly, what you said is it's 60, but the goal is by 2025 to have 60% of Illinois students either with college and or career accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that that's the right percentage?
Right. So the state level goal adopted by the P20 Council was for 60% of Illinois adults ages 25 to 64 to have a post-secondary credential or degree. And that was based on identifying the workforce needs in 2025 at the time that goal was set in 2009 to estimate that at that period in time we would need that level of educated workforce to be able to support the employment needs within our state. Obviously, 2025 isn't too far away, so part of the state-level conversation over the next several years will be, how do we need to adjust? And already we're seeing that number needing to trend up to more 65% and beyond. But that is, that's sort of been the North Star for a lot of state-level policy on post-secondary attainment. And in our work has been to be able to connect that down to the community level.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. If I could follow up on that with either John or Edith, yes. Where are we right now on that progress to 60%?
We are at 50.1%. So that's obviously for us to be able to make the 60 by 25 goal. We've actually got to increase our rate somewhat from where we have been in recent years. So that number includes approximately 44% of associate and bachelor degree completers and approximately 6% of credential completers, which is a little bit of fuzzy math for how that's been estimated through national partners, but that's how they've determined that. The work we're also doing, though, at the state level through the P20 Council is not just looking at that overall number, but breaking it down by different subgroups and categories to understand that as we look at our low-income population, our Black population, our Latino population, that there are significant disparities across our state in terms of those attainment goals. And the state is developing both goals for targets that are based on the different demographic subgroups in our state, and also we'll be looking at strategies to support that work as well. So I think that's been an exciting shift in the conversation. While we need to have the overall goal set, we also need to be looking at all the different groups in our state and how well we're meeting the future population trends.
And I think that's going to be key to reaching that 60%.
Great.
We've got to look beyond high school students.
Yes, yes.
And
absolutely.
Your focus is on degrees or credentials. So what role does NIU play in that? Do we provide credentials too?
Certainly, I know that from the degree standpoint, as you look at the employer needs, we have, sometimes the messaging is that you hear is that, you know, that there's not as much need for bachelor's degrees. That's not all the case when we look at the data, when you look at where jobs are growing. So we have a strong need for our state economy to support bachelor's degree attainment in a number of key areas that are critical for our state's growth. We also think that from a credentialing standpoint, I'm not exactly sure to what extent there would be credentials that NIU would be offering, but NIU certainly plays a key role. As we talk about pathways, it's always about looking at grades 9 through 16 plus. So serving in that role as a partner with community college partners and with other organizations, so even as students are maybe completing sub-baccalaureate credentials, that there's a clear pathway on through NIU degree programs into the workforce.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Tim.
Question, and then a comment. So in a subsequent committee today, we are seeking an approval for the Iowa JAG subcontract. So you are the recipient of that, correct?
Yes, we are the administrator of that agreement, which will be providing the funding to the Iowa JAG entity.
Which seems pretty substantial. I realize mm-hmm. it's money in and out, but there will be a residual piece that we'll
yes.
retain.
Yes.
My guess is that the good work that you've done and earned mm-hmm. over time kind of has led you guys to land this.
Exactly.
Just talk a little bit about that contract.
Certainly. Well, this was an opportunity that was brought to us by the Illinois Department of Employment Security, which has been one of our key state partners through the years in supporting work around education and workforce. And while there was, just to pause quickly, Jobs for America's Graduates is a national program, which was in Illinois before and is now coming back with the support of the Illinois Department of Employment Security. The program really targets students who are in high school and are most at risk of dropping out and not making a successful transition to college, careers, the military, et cetera. They have a focus on preparing strong career skills and engaging with employers to support that most at-risk population. And so the Illinois Department of Employment Security has certain federal funds through the Wagner-Peisner funding stream, which is targeting those at-risk populations. They wanted to be able to use it to support this program and wanted to work with us because they knew A, that we would be successful in helping to execute and launch this program, and B, because they also knew that we would align it with these other state strategies. And part of the work is that not just to make this one program for one discrete population, but make sure we're supporting it as part of a broader pathway effort within those communities and that it's connected to that. So that's why they were able to come to us as a partner, knowing that we would be able to support this program launch and be able to incubate it until it can grow on its own and be sustained moving forward.
Thank you. Anything else?
I have a comment. I've been on the board for nearly 2 years now, and I've heard your name and your department more than any other name that I've heard, so it's so great to meet you finally. I've heard about you, as I was thinking about this, from people at the IBHE. I've met people at District 211,
yes,
high school
yes,
level, Dan yes, Cates, oh my yes, God, he loves you guys.
Yeah, yes.
I've heard about you at the community college level. I mean, And if Veronica was here today, Veronica Herrero yes, is would love to be here. She loves you guys.
Yes,
and all the work that you're doing. So I'll channel Veronica right now. She's very thankful for you and all the work that you're doing right now. So it's really great to hear all this here today, because now I can piece it all together. But there's a lot of people outside of here that really think the work that you're doing is amazing.
Yes, so, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I do have one question, and yep, it might be a dumb question, but I'm trying to guess on what transitional math is.
Sure, sure.
So could you explain yes, transitional yes, math to me?
Yeah, so this is the term transitional math refers to instruction that's delivered to seniors in high school, which when they successfully complete that math instruction, they can be guaranteed placement in college-level math courses. Oh. And so it's somewhat like the equivalent of moving developmental education coursework that might happen at a community college level down to the high school level. But this is addressing the fact that when we first, and Emily had touched on these trends, you know, that when we first started to integrate data, so this is where these projects connect, and we saw that half of Illinois students going on at the community college system were going to remedial coursework. That really led to a strategy to say that we need to think about how are we working with students while they're still in high school, and making sure that rather than letting them get to community college where they take a placement test where they don't know what it means, and getting into a developmental education course sequence where, again, off the data shows that students are not being successful progressing through that, we need to be addressing those needs while still in high school. And so transitional math, because it's not remedial because they're not in college yet, we wanted to use the term transitional to refer to it supporting those successful transitions. And I wanted to say the provost's office, we've had some really exciting conversations recently, even though four-year universities are not required to accept the transitional math placement under the legislation. We've had some really great conversations with the provost's office about how NIU can also partner directly with high schools to recognize that placement in transitional math and how that can support transitions and pathways and into the university as well.
Okay. Thank you.
No, to that is very few of the students that take remedial courses in community colleges ever graduate.
Yes, yes.
So it's true. Important to drive it down to the high school and get the students prepared for higher ed.
Yeah.
It's a really good use of the senior year,
yes,
which, you know, those of us who are my age remember not a lot of work maybe got done senior year. And so, you know, some students can use the senior year to accelerate their baccalaureate with AP or IB courses, and others can use it to catch up. Mm-hmm. And we all know from a lot of data from NIU and elsewhere that if you take math your senior year, you're already really positioning yes, yourself for success.
Yes.
Yeah, I had this discussion. I've been working with a school in District 211 for a while on their entrepreneurship program.
Yes.
And I was talking with one of the teachers the other day, and it's like we were figuring probably from about January 20th,
mm-hmm,
the seniors are done. They're gone. Their mind yeah, is completely out of high school.
Yeah, and
so that makes it really tough.
And within Districts 211 and 214, their partnership with Harper College, their remedial math rates have dropped from 35% of their students to around 12%.
Wow.
Over the last 4 years. I mean, it's remarkable through these strategies.
That's
the type of work that these efforts can really scale up statewide, and I think we'll see some longstanding impacts from them.
Great. Any other comments? Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you
appreciate
so much.
It. Thank you for your work.
That concludes the university report.
I think you said that concludes.
The university report.
Okay. Are there other matters to come before the committee?
you have anything else? The next meeting date will be February 7, 2019. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So be it.
Do I hear a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. See you on February 7. Meeting is adjourned.